Too bad she hasn't cracked a science book since 1985.
A metathesis reaction?
Compounds, mixtures, and elements. Even this baking soda volcano is too big of an experiment. Whoa. Now she's completely forgotten the periodic table. Now she's burning a hole through the kitchen table.
Burning with science.
But her kids' love for their mom is truly transparent. Proof you don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent.
Don't tell Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of siblings in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Bros, Brews, and Bleachers. I'm your host, Jeff Safford, on Triple B on this Wednesday evening. If you are still at work, I'm right there with you, still trying to grind through the day. Just maybe let this take your mind off of it a little bit. And if you're riding home from work, get those windows down, time to celebrate a finished day. Hey, you made it through halfway through this week at least, right? And we got a big night in sports tonight. That's going to be the main focus of our show here this evening. Two big happenings coming in from the NBA. Of course, everybody around here is talking about it. The Bay Area, of course, coming to you live from Dominican University of California here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Everybody around here is talking about it. The Golden State Warriors going for win 73. That's the talk around the area, but we're actually going to start our NBA talks with a different team than the Warriors, and we're going to go down south and talk about what's going on at the Staples Center tonight with Kobe Bryant. And his last game, we're going to kind of, or at least not we, you're not in the studio with me, but I will be talking about just Kobe Bryant and his legacy and, you know, just kind of the end, not even kind of, it is an end of an era with Kobe Bryant finally hanging it up, started his career in 1996, right out of high school, straight to the Lakers, and 18 great years later, here he is finishing out a fantastic career. So we're going to talk about that. And also, this is the last day of the NBA regular season. There are some games, including the game the Warriors are playing in tonight, that have some playoff implications. The playoff field is not set. There's some craziness going on in the Eastern Conference, and we're going to break all that down for you so you can get an idea of what team may be headed where, you know, if X happens, then X, you know, then Y, you know, kind of a if and then, kind of break all that down for you. Our NBA segment, we had now over a week in our next segment, then now over a week into the baseball season, kind of yin and yang there a little bit in that basketball is just now coming to the playoffs, to the, you know, the most exciting time of the year, where baseball is right at the beginning. Like I said, the Giants, we're going to talk about them a little bit. Giants, the local team around. And, of course, here only probably 35 minutes from AT&T Park here in San Rafael on a good day without traffic, 35, 40 minutes. But so we're talking about them, where their season's headed, and they made some moves in the offseason. We'll talk about how the guys are performing and how everything is going by the Bay. And then saw this interesting topic written in a blog this week. It's about Mike Trout and how Mike Trout is an underappreciated American athlete. So we're going to kind of go into that. I thought that was a little bit interesting. And then we're talking a little Jordan Spieth, kind of. I'm going to defend Jordan Spieth. He's been getting a ton of flack in the media this week. I'm sure by now you've heard about the epic disaster he had at Augusta last Sunday, where he blew five strokes and just a couple of holes on Sunday on the back nine at Augusta, and just kind of everything that's, you know, in the media that's happened after then, some for good reason, but I think where it's gone is a little overkill. So we're going to talk about that, and then wrap things up. We're going to hit our brew of the week. We're going to stay right around here locally for our brew of the week. So local San Rafael listeners, you know, if you're maybe your ears will perk up a little bit to think that this one will be right in your backyard. And the surprising part is that not a lot of people know about this joint. So we're going to go there. And we'll also have our bet of the week as well. So that's going to be our show for this afternoon here on early evening, kind of in that tweener period. You know, we're starting to get into spring now, so these days are starting to get a little bit longer. Anyway, I'm going to start with the show off, like I mentioned, with Kobe Bryant. He's hanging him up tonight. Tonight's his last game at home at the Staples Center and his last game, period, in a Los Angeles Lakers uniform and in the NBA. He's going to be calling it quits, retiring after this long career. I mean, his accolades for his career on the court speak for itself. 5 NBA championships, a huge number of all-star appearances, you know, being third in the all-time scoring list behind only Michael Jordan and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Just everything about the guy just screams Hall of Famer, and he absolutely will, no, without a doubt, be a Hall of Famer when he is picked. I guess you can't say when it's all said and done now, because it pretty much is all said and done. And with Kobe Bryant this season, coming off a couple of years where really Kobe hadn't played much at all, you know, the last two or three seasons has been really marred by injury, and, you know, probably his body just finally starting to give out after so many years of, you know, playing 40-plus minutes every single night. And on top of that, the runs to the postseason, where those games are even more strenuous and stressful and, you know, just kind of adding up. And that's what happens when you start to get old. But give Kobe credit, on a team that is in serious rebuild mode, a lot of young players, Kobe made it through the season. You know, he sat out some games here or there and didn't play as many minutes as he's played in the past, but, you know, stuck with the team, and, you know, he had a pretty solid season, I think most people would definitely say, considering where Kobe's career has been going in the last couple of years and where his team is. I mean, come on, Swaggy P. Come on, it's a joke. Nick Young, oh boy. And then, of course, we were talking a couple of weeks ago about that whole skirmish with him and with Nick Young, him being, and D'Angelo Russell, that thing with, you know, Nick Young cheating on Iggy Azalea and showing a video or filming a video, and that just, you know, kind of trod the turmoil going on in the locker room. You know, so nobody wants to have to deal with that at any point in their career, let alone the last season. But Kobe did, and I think he did it pretty well. And, you know, and Kobe, he has nothing left to give. When you look at Kobe Bryant, I mean, you see him, seen pictures of him on the bench with just, he looks like a football player, like with all the ice packs and the heat wraps, and, you know, just like bulging out. It looks like he has pads on, you know, like full pads, like in football pads. And it's just incredible just how beat up his, you know, his body is, and what in the measures he's going to stay on the floor. And, you know, it speaks to how competitive he is. And that's something that's never been on question. I mean, you look at Kobe Bryant. He is the ultimate competitor on the court. He is tough. He is going to fight you. And if you knock him down once, you better be ready, because he is going to be coming for you 10 times harder the next time. And time again, where teams have seemingly had the upper hand, the one that really comes to mind right offhand is the Boston Celtics. You know, and the first time the Celtics faced the Lakers in the finals in 2008, the Celtics really, for the most part, dominate the series and, you know, prove to almost anybody that the Celtics are the team, you know, that are the elite, you know, they are the best. And two years later, what does Kobe do? He comes back and beats those same Boston Celtics. And, you know, yes, there are things that went the Lakers' way in that series, but it speaks to how Kobe fights. And, you know, and the other interesting thing with Kobe is he is a guy that was, well, to speak bluntly, was hated by pretty much everyone. You know, a lot of fans that were not Kobe fans or not Laker fans. You know, people, you know, that didn't like the Lakers people that weren't fans of the Lakers disliked Kobe Bryant. And he was the ultimate, you know, also the ultimate competitor I mentioned, and also the ultimate villain in the NBA. I see him as like Darth Vader. You know, he is coming through, you know, with, you know, this big intimidating factor. You know, he's always had these, you know, piercing eyes, and he's very outspoken. You know, he'll, you know, do the hush thing to a crowd, you know. And if you haven't seen it, Nike actually just released a kind of a tribute commercial to Kobe, in which that was the theme around the commercial. It was like a little song, and it was basically "I hate Kobe Bryant." And they had some fun cameo appearances, like Paul Pierce was in it from the Celtics. They had a lot of battles. The funniest one I saw was Rasheed Wallace. You guys remember him? Rasheed Wallace, of course, was on that bad boy Portland team that was full of guys that were gnarly and, you know, had, you know, or got caught smoking stuff. I won't say what. I'm sure, you know, putting two and two together with them playing in Portland, I'm sure you'll be able to decipher that for yourself. But, you know, that was another team that Kobe did battle with numerous times, and, you know, Kobe always got the best of them. And you know, me being a Oregon alumni as well, you know, finishing out my degree here at DU, but, you know, having been around the Portland sports scene at the University of Oregon, you know, a lot of kids from Portland go there, obviously, and you hear Portland fans and they just hate Kobe Bryant. It's almost like saying Lord Voldemort's name. You know, when if you follow Harry Potter, have read Harry Potter, you know, Voldemort, you're not even supposed to say it. It's like, you know, what? It's like Kobe is like the same way. If you say Kobe, like, they get into a friend's like, oh, you know, you always get a reaction. And that speaks to how good he is as well, or how good he was, you know. And it speaks to, you know, and fans here in the Bay Area, he's been booed many a time here in the Bay Area, the Warriors having been a pretty stinky, to put it lightly, franchise in the first, you know, at least in the majority of my lifetime, you know. And we'll get into more of that later in the Warriors segment, as they're going after something completely opposite of being terrible. But, you know, I understand too, and I've seen it, and, you know, and when a guy is just disliked everywhere, you know, for him, and he embraced that. You know, Kobe embraced the villain role. He liked being the guy that everybody booed and, you know, everybody wanted to beat. You know, he just, you know, a lot of guys, you know, would, you know, think about a guy like Ron Artest, where Ron Artest, I'm not going to call him by the name he calls himself because I think it's childish. Anyway, think about Ron Artest and the crap he pulled You know, I'm not comparing Ron Artest to Kobe Bryant, but Ron Artest, you know, very good basketball player in his prime, great defender. But what was his problem? He lost his cool, and people got into his head. And at one time in Palace in Auburn Hill, a fan got into his head, and he went into the crowd. I'm sure a lot of you remember that. You know, it happened a long time ago. But, you know, that's an example of where an athlete can go and what can limit them if they, you know, if they're not mentally tough and they don't embrace, you know, being the player that they are, and they let people from outside of themselves define who they are. You know, and that was not Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant defined himself. You know, he played the game his own way. It was him against the NBA, and I would say that he did a pretty damn good job beating the NBA all by himself. All right, so we're going to head to a break. You know, farewell, Kobe Bryant. They're taking on the Utah Jazz tonight, and kind of an interesting game because the Jazz are still fighting for a playoff spot, and they need a loss from the Houston Rockets to have a shot at the 8 seed. But, you know, still, you know, Utah is really has the mindset going out there that they need a win, you know. So it's, you know, everybody thinking, you know, Kobe's last game, you know, all these, I'm sure, special ceremonies. I'm sure they're, since it's LA, I'm sure they're going all out for Kobe. I mean, I'd be willing to even bet on, you know, it'd be like over under how many how many celebrities will make an appearance in Kobe's video that aren't athletes. You could probably almost bet on that. You know, but anyway, that's the situation there. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the other historical thing happening in the NBA tonight. The Golden State Warriors, of course, going for win 73, the all-time single-season win record tonight against the Grizzlies. And we're going to go over some playoff scenarios as well, as there are some games in action now also. So you're listening to Bros, Brews, and Bleachers with Jeff Safford, and I'll be right back after a couple public service announcements. Meet Dennis. He just had a really bad day and is about to go over the edge with rage.
I am untethered and my rage knows no bounds!
This aggressive behavior has become all too common. According to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner in the U.S. during 1 year. So don't be like Dennis. Join the fight against domestic violence today.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology,
me.
I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn today...
The only thing I didn't learn...
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Josh Groban. My favorite thing about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. The Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and helps get it to kids in need. But they can't do it alone. Find out how you can help at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Bros, Brews, and Bleachers. I'm your host, Jeff Safford, here with you on a beautiful Wednesday evening. The weather's a little bit cooler than what we've seen over the last couple weeks, but I'm digging it. And got a lot of more great topics to talk about here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We just had a segment fully devoted to Kobe Bryant. And if you missed that segment and you want to listen to any other segments of my show, you can log on to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Go on to the student show section, and all of our student show content is posted in podcast format on Penguin Radio. So if you missed my show, you want to listen to a portion of that, or you want to listen to somebody else's show, it's all right there for you. And all of our athletic content is also posted online as well. We're having some Penguin softball this weekend, twice this weekend, a double dip. On Friday, we have Holy Names coming into town, Pac West action, and on Sunday afternoon, the Penguins will be taking on Humboldt State, a non-conference opponent. A little bit interesting to be playing a non-conference opponent this late in the season, but they'll be making the trek south to play the DUs on Sunday afternoon. And we'll have all four, they're both doubleheaders, we'll have all four of those games for you here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Myself and Lizette Cabrera will be there on the call for those two doubleheaders. So make sure you make your way out there. Of course, weather permitting, we had a doubleheader rained out last weekend. Notre Dame was supposed to play Dominican here last weekend. That series was rained out. And how it worked out, it was really kind of funny. That Holy Names, you know, and Dominican played an away series, was scheduled for Sunday, and instead of playing at College of Marin, like it was scheduled to be played, it actually was played right here at Penguin Field. So it'll be a little bit deja vu for those of you who were at the game last weekend. So, moving along now, we're going to head into our next segment of NBA talk. Like mentioned at the beginning of the show, this is a very NBA-heavy show. We have the last day of the regular season taking place today. The last game's tonight. Went over Kobe Bryant and his farewell song. That's the first big headline. The second, of course, is the biggest around here in the Bay Area, and that is the Golden State Warriors going for win 73. And this is a record that, you know, you've heard people talk about this, the Warriors themselves in press conferences, is that, you know, I think it was Steph Curry that kind of talked about this, saying that they weren't even thinking about that record as a feasible, you know, accomplishment for any team. That was one of those records that they saw as something that would be untouchable. And, you know, I think of it as the same way. I am, you know, extremely surprised to see the Warriors are where they are. And I think anybody in the NBA community is as well. You know, not that the Warriors are not a great team. They are the defending world champions after all. But the record is just, you know, just seems so insurmountable. And the fact that the Warriors have gotten there and at the very worst have tied that mark is remarkable. And, you know, and just to look at how far this franchise has come, and I kind of alluded to this in my last segment, you know, but growing up, the majority of my time growing up, the Warriors were terrible, you know, and a lot of long seasons. And, you know, I think I mentioned this on another one of my shows, but, you know, as a child, I remember one of the only highlights the Warriors franchise had was, you know, Jason Richardson winning a slam dunk contest, you know, and, you know, that doesn't have anything to do with an MVP or Defensive Player of the Year or NBA Finals or anything like that. And, yeah, but
you know, the Warriors franchise always had a strong fan base. Even, you know, year after year, they drew pretty well, and, you know, they're, you know, there was still, you know, excitement around the team, even though they weren't really very good. And I still remember, you know, Baron Davis and the We Believe team and what that team did for that franchise, and, you know, took them seemingly out of the depths a little bit. And, you know, and look where they are now, going for 73 wins. It's unbelievable. And the team they are playing tonight, kind of an interesting team, the Grizzlies. They are a playoff team. You know, they will be headed to the playoffs. They have a couple scenarios on what seed they could finish. They could finish actually as high as the sixth seed if they win and Dallas loses, the Dallas being the Dallas Mavericks. And we'll go over a lot more of the playoff scenarios later on. But, you know, it's Memphis is a good team. And the one thing that is interesting that's been documented about them is their injuries and how beat up this squad has been. Obviously, no Marcus Gasol, no Michael Conley. And those two players, you know, the starting center and the starting point guard are, you know, considered some of the better players at their position in the NBA. And they're missing both of those players, two of the best players on the team. And yet still, here they are. And they've had 28 different players come in and out of their rotations throughout the year. And that's the most by any team that's ever made the playoffs. And, you know, to me, that speaks to, you know, them being just a tough, no-quit attitude team. And they do have some very proud vets on the team, you know, 39-year-old Vince Carter, Matt Barnes, a member of Matt Barnes, member of that We Believe Warrior team, Tony Allen, Zach Randolph, all guys that have been in the NBA for a while, have won championships. I know Tony Allen has a ring, and, you know, played a lot of games in the playoffs, a lot of games regular season. They understand how the NBA game works. And, you know, they've, you know, despite the odds, have been able to get themselves into the playoffs. And, you know, that's pretty amazing for where the team has gone. And, you know, being the team that they are, this veteran team, they're not going to be a team that just lays down and lets the Warriors cruise to the 73rd win. And, you know, and fans saw that just last Saturday night as Memphis had a 10-point lead and in the fourth quarter when these two teams got together on Saturday night and in Memphis. And the Warriors, they were up against the wall. You know, they're on the ropes. They're thinking, I think a lot of people were thinking that this was going to be it for the Warriors, that this loss would, you know, end their chances of getting the record. And, you know, they could see it slipping away. And it took a really great effort in the second half of the fourth quarter for the Warriors to come out with a win in that one. So I'm not sure really what to expect in tonight's game. The line on this game is ridiculous. The Vegas line, I mean, 18.5-point spread in favor of the Warriors. So they obviously see the Warriors running away, but I'm not so sure. And part of the reason is from what the Warriors have been doing the last couple weeks. They've been getting challenged by teams, and teams have really been coming out and playing hard against the Warriors. And I don't expect anything different tonight. You know, not only is this Memphis team proud, and, you know, nobody wants to be the team that gives up the record. You know, nobody wants to be a Mike Bacsik, the pitcher who gave up Barry Bonds, the 756 home run. Nobody wants to be that guy, right? And the fact that Memphis could be playing for playoff seeding as well to get a better seed, that might be another motivation for this team to say, hey, let's go out there and get a win. And what would be a better way to send that team into the playoffs than with a win against the Warriors in that type of situation? That's the type of win that can give you some momentum going into the playoffs. And this time of year and gotten through the grind that is the regular season, you're going to look for anything you can find as extra motivation, extra ammunition. So I think this is going to be an interesting game tonight. And I don't expect the Warriors to go winning away. I do expect them to get it done and be able to finish it off. You know, they're playing at home. The place is going to be an absolute nut bin. I'm sure of that. The Warriors, they're younger, they're deeper than the Grizzlies are, and I just think the Warriors just really want this record, and I think they'll be able to go out there and get it. But after tonight, the regular season, as I mentioned, is over, or will be over, and we'll be headed to the postseason. The Warriors already have the number one seed locked up in the Western Conference. The Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cavaliers have that one all wrapped up. And the San Antonio Spurs are in the second spot out west. So we have some of those spots taken up already. And the Toronto Raptors are the other number two seed out in the Eastern Conference. But that's where things start to get a little weird in the Eastern Conference. It's the 3, 4, 5, and 6 seeds are all extremely close to each other. There's four teams, the Miami Heat, the Atlanta Hawks, the Celtics, the Boston Celtics, and the Charlotte Hornets. So those are the teams that are really kind of in a logjam in the Eastern Conference. And the easiest way to break down the scenarios is just to kind of read them off. So here we go. The Miami Heat will be the number three seed if they win or the Hawks lose. They'll be the number five if the Heat and Hornets lose and the Hawks win. So that would make them a five. Number six, if the Heat lose and the Hawks and the Hornets win. So that's the scenario for them. The Hawks will be the number three seed with a win and the Heat loss, and the four if the Hawks lose or the Heat win. So the Miami Heat, for them, it's easy. If they win the three, they are the three. And the Hawks, if they win and the Heat lose, they're the three. But if they lose or the Heat win, they're the four. Then Boston. Boston is the number four if the Celtics and the Hawks win. Number five, if the Celtics and Hornets lose or the Celtics win and the Hawks lose. Number six, if the Celtics lose and the Hornets win. So that's the scenario for them. And then the Hornets, the last team in this kind of log jam in the Eastern Conference, could be the five seed if the Hornets and the Heat win or the Hornets, Celtics, and the Hawks win. So that's not all that likely, more likely probably the number six if the Hornets lose or the Celtics and the Hornets win and the Hawks lose. So a lot of scenarios there to think about, and those teams are in action right now. The Celtics and the Heat actually playing each other. The Hornets and the Magic are also playing each other, and the Wizards and the Hawks playing each other. Those are the teams in playoff contention. The other team, and we'll get to them later, out west, that's in a battle for the number eight seed, the Rockets, are also in action. But the Celtics are in a bunch of trouble right now at the end of the first. They're trailing 35-13. Ouch. They're getting manhandled on their home floor. Goran Dragic leading the way with 12 points for Miami, leads all scorers. The Hornets, they are also looking pretty good, up 39-24 at home against the Orlando Magic. And the Rockets also taking care of business at home so far against the Kings. So some And all of these games are at the end of the first or just barely beginning the second quarter. The Hornets and Magic already in the second quarter. So some of these playoff puzzles are already starting to get clearer. So, you know, you look at the, it looks like the Heat, if they continue their success, they'll be the number three. Celtics losing probably will drop to the five seed. And we'll have to see what happens with the Hornets. Still, but still, again, a long way to go in these games. And the main game on tap that we were mentioning, Grizzlies and the Warriors will be starting at 7:30, as well as the Lakers and the Jazz starting at 7:30 as well. So, the playoffs are coming, and it's going to be exciting playoffs, and it's going to be filled with, you know, teams of intrigue. You know, the teams that don't sleep on the Cavaliers. You know, I understand that the Warriors have been doing what they've been doing, but, you know, they still have LeBron James. He's still a world-class talent, still capable of playing like the best player in the world. And a lot of people would say he is the best player in the world, even though Steph Curry has won the MVP last season, won the NBA championship, and looks to be poised to win another. And, you know, but this team is, the Cavs are still a really tough opponent, and I'm excited to see the Eastern Conference playoffs and how that shakes out. There's a lot more talent and intrigue in the Eastern Conference this year than there has been in the past. You know, it's not just going to be a cakewalk for the Cavaliers to the Larry O'Brien, you know, to face whoever it is coming out of the West. It's going to be tough. You know, some of those younger, you know, these teams are getting younger out East, and, you know, they've got some talent. You know, the, you know, Kyle Lowry and the Raptors, they're a very tough team. The Celtics, you know, are not playing great tonight, but they're a tough, gritty team. The Miami Heat, the team that's clobbering the Celtics at the moment, they're a good team. Whiteside's proven to be a great center for them. Goran Dragic, a good veteran point guard. They still have D-Wade and Bosch from the old Big Three of Miami, so that's a tough team. So it's going to be interesting in the East, where we've seen a lot of kind of ho-hum, you know, yawn type playoff series is where we've kind of just, you know, waited out to see who was going to make it out of the West to play whatever team LeBron James was playing on. So it's going to be, should be fun, and I'm excited for it. But it's going to wrap up that segment of the show. You're listening to Bros, Brews, and Bleachers on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm Jeff Safford, and we're going to get into some next segment. We're going to switch gears from basketball and head into the baseball realm. Get that going a little bit. We're just a little over a week into the Major League season. Giants playing pretty well so far, so we'll talk a little Giants when we come back here on Penguin Radio. Stay with us.
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange, then line up the bolts with the bowl and gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie?
Is that an old plumbing manual?
Oh, yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kinda wanna know how it ends.
Okay. Tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what Living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Bros, Brews, and Bleachers. I'm your host, Jeff Safford. We're here with you on a Wednesday night. We got two-thirds of the way through our show for tonight. Gone over Kobe Bryant stuff, you know, saying goodbye to an NBA great, the Black Mamba, hanging up those Nikes tonight for the last time in front of Staples Center, as it should be, you know. You know, LA fans are definitely not the best, but, you know, I would say he deserves to go out in front of the fans he's played for all this time. And, you know, I got to give credit to Kobe, too, for sticking it out with the Lakers for this whole time with all the junk and stuff that he had gone through with his career. The, you know, going back to the earlier days of his career with the whole drama with him and Shaquille O'Neal and, you know, then a couple of years later before Phil Jackson came back, it was, you know, kind of rough times for the Warriors and, or excuse me, the Lakers. And, but, you know, he's hanging it up. You want to catch the game, it's going to be on ESPN2 at 7:30. You can flip back and forth between that game and the Warrior game. And so those two games will be on at the same time. And we also talked about playoff scenarios and a little bit about the Warriors as well in our last segments of the show. And we're going to move on to a little baseball talk now. Feels good to say that. It's been a long off season, but now we are in baseball time. It's swinging, we're going. And baseball is underway. The Giants have gotten off to a pretty good start. They are in action tonight against the Colorado Rockies at Coors Field. It is a nothing-nothing ball game in that one so far. In the middle of the first inning, the Giants went down 1-2-3 in the first inning. Jake Peavy is on the hill tonight for the Giants, and for Peavy, to kind of go on that topic, he's a guy that definitely will look to have a better performance. He didn't pitch very well in his first game this season. He actually pitched opening day last week in San Francisco, the Giants' home opener, not the first game of the season. That was Madison Bumgarner. But he pitched that one, the first game in L.A., and the Giants' offense was able to fight back and ultimately win the game, but Jake Peavy really did not look very good. He was not sharp and will definitely have to improve. And that's the question with this team, or one of the big questions, is those last two positions in the rotation. And when the Giants have a guy like Chris Heston sitting in the wings, he isn't in the rotation, but pitched a lot of good baseball last year. Of course, had the no-hitter last year. Guy like him sitting waiting in the wings. Now, if those two bottom guys can't perform, Kane or Kane and Peavy being the final two men in the rotation, then they're going to get kicked out. And I'm convinced that at some point this year, Chris Heston will find himself back into the starting rotation. And one of those two guys, I'm not sure who it's going to be, Jake Peavy or Matt Kane, one of the two is going to be out of the rotation. Does that mean it's going to be a long time? Is it going to be permanent? No, but I could easily see one of those two guys being sent back out of the rotation at one point. But, you know, they're, like I said, they're lots of positive things coming out of the Giants camp. They won the first two series of the season. They took 2 of 3 from Milwaukee to start the year and then beat the rival Dodgers 3 out of 4 times at home this past weekend and started the series off in the bang last night with a big win. Trevor Brown, how about coming off the bench with 2 home runs for the Giants? Trevor Brown, yeah, he's kind of a new kid on the block this season, a new catcher, guy backing up Buster Posey. And man, if the Giants can find a guy that is a good defender and can swing the bat a little bit as a catcher, man, that is going to take so much pressure off of Buster Posey. That would be an ideal situation for this Giants team, especially when you start getting into the later parts of the year, when you start dealing with interleague play and postseason as well. You know, when you get interleague play, you can, you know, if you're confident, a guy like Trevor Brown, when you're playing in these road parks in the American League, you can stick him behind the dish and put Posey, you know, at first, or have him be the DH, you know, and just having the luxury of being able to do something like that for, you know, 20, 30 games in the season, you know, and not have his bat in the line without taking him out of the lineup completely, you know, that's definitely a solid thing. And, you know, that's been something that's very important with Buster now, is protecting him and, you know, making sure that you can get the most out of Buster Posey. He's a fantastic talent, but as we've seen in years past, injuries have a way of derailing it all, and the position he plays can be very tough as well on your body. You know, obviously in the squat for hours on end, it's not easy. So that'll be another interesting aspect of this team going forward. But thing also to look at, you know, was made a lot of attention was made about this with the two big free agent signees. Denard Span also was a good free agent pickup for the Giants in the offseason, but the two big names were, of course, Jeff Samardzija and Johnny Cueto. Giants spent a whole bunch of money on those two guys, filled a spot of need, so to speak, for the team, and so far, I would say, so far, so good for these two pitchers. And Johnny Cueto, he's had one good start, and the last start he had against the Dodgers was a start that, you know, he pitched deep into the game, gave up a bunch of runs, gave up 6 earned, I believe is what it was. But it was one of those games where it was just one balloon inning that just kind of blew up Cueto's ERA for the day, and was right out of the chute in the first inning. The Dodgers scored 5 runs, but the rest of the game, Cueto was in, they only got 1 run off of him. So once Cueto kind of got set and composed, he was able to get a way better control and, you know, and just was able to take control of the ballgame on the mound. And he pitched well in Milwaukee, you know, deep into the ballgame as well. So 2 starts and 2 long quality starts for Cueto, you know, big, you know, went deep into the ballgame. That's exactly what the Giants are looking for. They want a guy that can complement Madison Bumgarner and at times probably even pitch better than Madison Bumgarner. And that's what I think they have found with Cueto. He is a legit pitcher and has great stuff. And his release is very deceptive, how he can, especially out of the windup, how he can almost quick pitch you in a way, or have a big long, he has like 2 separate release points, you know, where he you know, it can really throw off a hitter. And I think he'll be great. And Samardzija seems like his first start he had in Milwaukee seemed like he was, and Mike Kruko talked about this a little bit as well, he seemed like he was a little bit jacked up for that start, you know, a little bit too amped up for the start and just kind of didn't have the control he wanted, but came out and pitched great last night. Again, went deep into the game. And, you know, it's early. These two guys have only started now a handful of games combined, four games, but the majority of the games the Giants have won, and the majority of the games these two guys have pitched deep into the ball game. So all in all, you know, you're early in the year. You're still figuring things out. You know, these both new players trying to get confidence with Buster and, or I guess Trevor Brown was catching last night. You know, trying to get acquainted with the catchers, acquainted with the defense, acquainted with your clubhouse. So a lot of things still kind of to fix up if you're the Giants. But you know, it's a good start for them. It's a long season. So moving forward and upward is what you want to be doing. And the hope is that by the time October rolls around, that your team is healthy and playing the best baseball that you can be playing. So for the Giants, you know, their offense has started out great, you know, but hitting the long ball, but that was the case last year as well. Lots of home runs kind of sputtered out early. You know, the injury bug caught the Giants. You know, Hunter Pence, Joe Panic, other key guys were out of the lineup. Pitchers, all Matt Cain, injury-riddled season. That's what ultimately brought the Giants down. So it's a long year, and, you know, I understand they've hit all the home runs, hit 7 and 14 games as of last night, hit two more last night, so 9 home runs in 15 games. There's no way the Giants are going to keep that streak up. So, you know, it's a grind, and a lot more issues and things will come to fruition with this team, and, you know, who knows where this season could lead, you know? After all, it is an even year. I'm not really a superstitious guy, but had to throw that in there, right? But another interesting argument with baseball, kind of to switch gears a little bit away from the Giants, saw this with a blog today talking about Mike Trout. And, you know, figured since he's kind of around in people's minds in the Bay Area, Mike Trout visited the Golden State Warriors yesterday and kind of made some headlines, was throwing down some dunks. You know, and kind of people thinking about, wow, what a great athlete Mike Trout really is. And kind of the tone around this question was, is Mike Trout an underappreciated star in athletics? And I thinking about what this blog appeared on Barstool Sports, if you're wondering, but I'm thinking about what the writer was talking about and kind of the tone he, thing he kind of brought up, he had, I think he has an interesting point. You know, looking at what Mike Trout is, and he is, you know, the best player in baseball, absolutely. And the things he is able to do on a baseball field is incredible. You know, he can do it all. He hits for average. He hits for power. He has speed. You know, he steals bases. You know, he does basically every, you know, he can hit for contact. You know, he kind of is linked to hitting for average. But, you know, you look at what he does. You know, he does everything offensively and defensively. He's an outstanding outfielder with huge range and, you know, can track down seemingly any ball, you know, jumping over fences. I still remember that catch he made a few years ago in Baltimore. And, you know, he's, you know, there's a just a athletic, you know, incredible specimen of athletic just in general, not just a baseball player. But yet, you know, when you look at him in the media, and, you know, I understand he's a huge star in baseball, but you're looking at him compared to LeBron and Stephen Curry in the NBA and Tom Brady, well, not Peyton Manning anymore because he retired, but when he was playing Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, thinking to other, you know, other sports that, you know, major sports, Jordan Spieth does not get anywhere near the same amount of attention that any of these other guys are, but the things he's doing on the baseball field right now are remarkable. And frankly, I can't remember the last time I saw a guy play like this. There, you know, the two guys that come to mind are Ken Griffey Jr. and this one guy who played left field, you know. Oh, man, what's his name? Oh, he was number 25, Barry Bonds? Yes, you know, of course, yes, I know who Barry Bonds is. But, you know, those were the two names that came to mind when thinking about the things that Mike Trout is doing right now. And the thing that's even crazier is that he is a young guy. You know, he is still in his early 20s. He has a lot of years left in his prime. And he has the opportunity to do something amazing in, you know, chasing down records and, you know, doing things in baseball that haven't been done in years. But yet, people aren't talking about him that much. And I just found that a little bit interesting. You know, just kind of, there's the power of the media right there, isn't it? And how it controls what we talk about and what we don't. And speaking of the media, another kind of, this is almost kind of a beef I have with the media and social media. We've seen talking about Jordan Spieth. I'm sure a lot of people, like I mentioned, a lot of people know what he did and a horrible, horrible course of events that took place on Sunday. And man, I think anybody that's ever played a round of golf in their life, you know, if you say you can't relate, you're lying. Come on. Everybody's had one of those holes, you know. Everybody's taken a 12, you know, on the out of the tee box, and have, you know, for me it was, you know, throwing golf balls or, you know, breaking tees or, you know, everybody has had those oh crap moments on a golf course, and to see it happen on Augusta on Sunday was a little bit of a humbling experience. But you know, I understand it was a huge collapse, but just the amount of negative attention that Spieth has gotten, I just think is unwarranted. I mean, give the kid a break. I mean, he was just the number one ranked player in the world. He won the Masters last year. You know, we're not talking about a guy that's a serial choker here. You know, this guy has made big shots, you know, played in the clutch. He's been on the top of the mountain, and he is a really young kid. You know, he's in his early 20s, still just getting it rolling. You know, if we want to talk about somebody who doesn't play in the big moments, let's talk about Rory McIlroy. What the heck happened to him on Sunday? And what the heck has happened to him at Augusta in general? You know, he hasn't done a darn thing at Augusta. You know, and he's been, you know, on the scene for a number of years now. And, you know, and a lot of people think of him as a guy that could be the next Tiger Woods of golf. And, you know, and if you're going to be at that caliber, you got to win at Augusta, you know. That's like your rite of passage. And Rory McIlroy's done nothing but, you know, have a couple of successful rounds here and then blows it all away. And so if you're going to talk about somebody in that light, you should talk about McIlroy, not Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth has been awesome. And just remember, before making that turn, he looked like he was cruising to a second straight golden jacket. Golden. Oh, my gosh. Green jacket. I'm sorry. Golden jacket. I'm thinking Happy Gilmore there. but that's a funny scene. But so take it easy on Jordan Spieth. You know, that's, I guess, the overarching claim here is that, you know, he screwed up. He made some mistakes. It happens on a golf course, even to Jordan Spieth. And yes, it happened at the most inopportune time ever, you know, and it will probably always be remembered as a huge failure, and it should be, but give the kid a break, you know? Just let him be. So we're right towards the end of our show here. We're going to get a little, just get the brew of the day and the bet of the day in really quick before we go off the air. I promised that the local brew of the day would be a local beer, and I wasn't joking. This brewery is right in our backyard. It is actually in Fairfax, California. It is, you know, the town's just to the west of us here, and it's Iron Springs Brewery. And the reason I bring this place up is I've asked a few people, you know, I've gone there and it's amazing. Their happy hour is great. Got a whole bunch of different beers on tap, you know, broad range, and yeah, and they brew it all themselves. And, you know, and their food is amazing also. That's, even if you're not a beer drinker, you know, the beer will bring you in, but at the end of the day, it's the food that'll keep you coming back. And the food is what keeps you coming back there. Reuben is outstanding. They have homemade pastrami, so if you're into that, they have other healthier options as well. It's very farm to table. So from that respect, great spot. And again, why I bring this place up is because, you know, I've mentioned it to a couple of people, you know, students live on campus or just people in the Marina area, and people don't know about this joint. And it surprises me because I've lived here for just around a year now, so I'm not, you know, I know a few of the local joints around, but I'm not really well-versed in this area like people are that have grew up here. And to find out that people didn't know about this joint surprised me. And so Iron Springs, that's our brew of the week. And our bet of the week, this is a little bit of a tough one, but I like one matchup, and that is the Diamondbacks over the Dodgers. Yes, you heard me right. And taking them in the spread. The Dodgers, to explain quickly how it works with betting on Major League games, they do a run spread. So when you see, you know, looking at this game, the Dodgers are favored by 161. And that means, I don't know why they don't just put the decimal point, but that means that they're favored by 1.6 runs. So pretty much, you know, so a run in two thirds. So the Dodgers would need to win by more than a run to lose the bet. And here's why I think the Diamondbacks can do it. Their starting pitcher, Ruby De La Rosa. He's been around the NL West a long time, and he knows this Dodger lineup really well. And he really didn't pitch well in his first game. He pitched awful to really break it up any well, but But De La Rosa also didn't pitch well at all against the Dodgers last year. He was 0-3 with a 11.21 ERA. So he is about as bad as you could get against one team last year. So sometimes in baseball, you're just due. And that's what I think Ruby De La Rosa is. And the Diamondbacks are against the Dodgers tonight in LA. They're due. De La Rosa, he had a terrible first start of the season, and he's had a terrible time with the Dodgers last year. You know, sometimes, you know, when you're in a slump, you're just due to finally break the seal. And that's what the Diamondbacks are going to do tonight. So that is my bet of the night. And we are out of time here on Penguin Radio, actually. Went a few minutes over tonight. That's okay. And I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. Make sure you tune in to Penguin Softball this weekend on Friday and Sunday. Weather permitting, looks like it's going to be great all weekend, though. And until next time, I'm Jeff Safford. Have a great night, everybody.